recently, Alexis and I were going for a walk in our community, just having a nice evening out walk together. And as we were walking, a couple people, actually quite a few people, you know, were walking on the same sidewalk as us, and they walked right past us, didn't even look me in the eye, didn't even greet me. How rude. And you're laughing. Because for me, as a Durban, South Africa, we greet. Like, so this morning, as we shook hands and we greeted, were you comfortable with that, or were you a little uncomfortable with that? Be honest with me. Not everybody was comfortable because I could see it. So I could see straight through you. In America, right? We're not necessarily, that's not necessarily who we are. Greetings aren't that important to us. In Durban, South Africa, greetings are extremely important. And I want to go deeper into this. It's more than just a greeting. But one of the things I've realized and come to wrestle with as we've been in Durban, South Africa now for 15 years, and before that, it was Nairobi, Kenya for 3 years. And so 2008, we left the U.S. And so we've been gone 18 years away from America. And so we come back every couple years. And you get a chance to see cultures change and things going on around the world. And interestingly enough, I have seen increasingly the world becoming more individualistic and inward-looking. In many places, individualism is the hallmark of this generation. We approach life from the perspective of I rather than we. At the foundation of this attitude is how I benefit, not how we mutually benefit. Go with me this morning, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. I'm not going to exposit specifically this passage this morning. This is sort of just a framework, introduction passage, just for us to get an idea of kind of the foundation where I'm going with this morning. I don't know if it's a habit that you guys have, but in Durban, when we read God's word, we stand. So if it's okay with you guys, I would just appreciate it. If you're able to stand as we read God's word, please stand. If you can't stand, that's okay. I respect that. But as a habit of respect for God's word, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's pray. God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of your glory. Father God, as we look into your word this morning, we're introducing and talking about maybe some strange words that we'll introduce this morning, but I pray that your word would be clear. Not that my word would be clear, but your word would speak to us. Your Holy Spirit would be alive and well this morning to speak to us where we are, meet us where we are. And may we grasp the importance of each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to teach you a Zulu word. Okay? Are you up to learning a Zulu word this morning? Good, because that's the whole, thrust of where we're going this way. It's called Ubuntu. U-B-U-N-T-U. Ubuntu. Ubuntu. Can you say it with me? Ubuntu. Ubuntu. Okay, Ubuntu. This term means I am because we are. Okay, think about that for a second. I am because we are. Is that how we function? Is that how we live? It's actually a profound recognition that our individual humanity is inextricably bound up in the humanity of others. Umuntu ngumuntu gabantu. A person is a person through other people. Okay. Let me get this to a whole. I am made rich. I am who I am because you are in my life. It's not I am, and I think we get this wrapped up in America, I am who I am because of me. And I draw this circle around me and it's about me. Ubuntu says, I am made better. I am who I am because you are involved in my life. And I believe, quite frankly, this is a very strong biblical principle. And I see it written here in the book of Ecclesiastes. What good is one person being alone? You're going to get cold. You're going to get robbed. You're going to get beaten. No, man, we are much better together. Ubuntu is an African philosophy that says people exist in community, not isolation. We are human because of our interconnectedness with others. It's putting the group, being faithful to community, above the success of the individual. Now, for Christians, those of us who are part of the church, this actually should not be a foreign concept. Now, it's a new word, but it shouldn't be a foreign concept to us because, quite frankly, this Ubuntu is the very essence of discipleship. It should be, anyways. It's the epitome of Christ-likeness. Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, he emptied himself for who? For us, the church. And if Christ emptied himself for the church, literally gave up himself, everything he had, his whole life was meant for us. Isn't it our desire? Shouldn't it be our desire as believers to be Christ-like? I heard one amen. It should be our desire to be Christ-like. You see, this idea of Ubuntu stands in vital opposition to the rugged individualism that dominates our culture and, regrettably, oftentimes our own faith. Individualism is destroying the church rather than building it. People come to church because they love God, but they don't end up caring for their neighbor who is hungry or who needs clothing. But God has created us. And he says it's not good for man to be alone, right? Right, husbands? Wow. I was expecting it to be a lot stronger than that. I've been home a lot over the past couple of years for the nature of where we're at in our life. Kathy has had to bring the kids back to the U.S. for college and university. And last year, her dad passed away. So she was gone for 3 months, July, August, and September. And she came back in October. Let me tell you, it's not good for man to be alone. And you're laughing. Why are you laughing at me? Because you know the truth, right? No, God created us in the very beginning of creation. He says, not good for man to be alone. He created us for the two to become one. He created us for community. The church is here for a reason, for a community to lift each other up. And yet the reality is, we most of the time in our culture put my own needs first before others. Ubuntu says, no, man, the community is more important than me. And I believe, church, that if we are truly to be the church, now I'm not talking about North Anvil Bible Church, because I'm not here with you guys day in, day out. I'm talking about the universal church, the big church, ecclesia, right? If we were truly to be the church, if we are truly to be the hands and feet of Jesus, which we are called to be, we need to put the needs of others before our own. That's what Christ did, isn't it? In the verses we just read, Solomon gave a strong example of the power of community. So 3 points we're going to see this morning, not from this passage, but 3 points from the word Ubuntu. We're going to find a couple of different passages. We're going to see oneness. This concept of Ubuntu can be seen in the Apostle Paul's radical vision for the church in Galatians chapter 3. Can you go with me, please, to Galatians chapter 3? I mean, literally, the scriptures are chock full of this concept. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. I like hearing all the pages turn. We live in a day and age where most everybody uses their devices for their Bibles. And it's okay, but I like also hearing, I mean, I preach from a hard copy of God's Word, and I like hearing the pages turn. So usually I look down at everybody and they're swiping. Galatians 3, 26 to 28. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have done what? Clothed yourselves with Christ. Now in Christ, there is no Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. When we are clothed with Christ, the distinctions that divide us, the distinctions that divide the world, race, gender, status, they're dissolved. And in Christ, we should find unity. Right? Our purpose is no longer self-serving. Our purpose ought to be entirely communal. That's the way the early church functioned. We are quite literally one body, the body of Christ, right? Am I teaching something foreign? I hope not. If we are one body, then the individual's well-being depends entirely on the health of others. And literally, I am because we are becomes I am because he is. That's truly what Ubuntu is. I am who I am because of you, because of the church, because he is. You guys grasp what I'm trying to say this morning? The reality that we have when we are truly unified in Christ, we become one in Christ. And if we are truly the church, we enrich and we help each other. And if my brother over here isn't well, I ought not be well. It ought to really get me to know that my brother is hungry, he's starving, he's sick, and I ought to be truly what Ubuntu is. Man, I need to feel that if we're truly one body. The reality is in our culture, you know what our American Western culture says? Leave him. I got my own problems. I got my own issues. Let me just deal with me. He can take care of himself, right? Isn't that what our culture says? I mean, you hear it all the time on the radio and the songs. It's all about me, 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 my needs, my wants, my, you know, all these, our culture today, it's all about you, myself. Guys, that's not the church. That's not what we're called to be. If we truly have clothed ourselves in Christ, we ought to be one body. Ubuntu really is a social fabric that holds the church together. So we should redeem this word. Ubuntu in the church would go a long way towards recovering what the New Testament church was really all about. The vision that Christ had for the church. The vision that Christ has for us. This is the attitude that says that whatever impacts others also affects me. It affects all of us. Success of the group is more important than my individual success. And that's hard for me. That's hard for us, right? Those of us who have been married a long time know the struggle that it is to put our spouses first. Because I have my own wants. I have my own desires. I have my own needs. It's not easy that what I'm preaching to us this morning from God's word is not easy. I'm not pretending that it is. But unfortunately, church, we put our own selves first. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm really glad my Savior didn't do that. Because if he did, man, I got no hope. I wouldn't be here with you today. If my Savior put himself first, he was not going to hang on that cross and deal with that pain of the rejection of his Father and the rejection because he took my sin upon his flesh. Oneness in Christ. We are clothed in Christ, therefore we are one. You see, the practice of Ubuntu creates an impetus for church planting, evangelism, discipleship, and caring for the needy. I mean, hopefully you got a chance to see a little bit an update this morning, what God is doing in Durban. You know, 2 years ago we shared, you know, the video about Pastor Mzo and his story. And it's incredible that he says in that, hopefully someday, I can't wait for the day where we can go plant another church. And he never had dreamed it was going to be him. And God moved in him and said, you're the one who's going to lead this new church plant. Praise God. February 1st, this new church plant has launched with an elder, a deacon, and about 3 or 4 families gone from the parent church to go plant this other church. And they're growing and we're seeing evangelistic outreaches. Well, that's because we believe deeply in Ubuntu. We believe that there's a community that needs to hear about Christ, and it's not about me. See, I've been given the gospel not for me. It's not just for me. The gospel isn't just for you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for me to go and share. I mean, what did Jesus Christ himself say? In Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and therefore just go and sit in your seat and just keep it to yourself. Is that what the Great Commission says? No. Go, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Go. Therefore, make disciples. Well, I can't be faithful. You can't be faithful to make disciples if I'm putting myself first. We are one in Christ. Secondly, there's a call in Ubuntu. There's a call to communal service. This radical oneness immediately moves us from self-focus to mutual obligation. When we approach church primarily for our own benefit. Okay, as we walked in these doors this morning, you don't have to answer me out loud because it's going to expose yourself. But what were you thinking this morning? Most likely, what most of us do. If I'm not preaching, wonder what he's preaching about it today. What's in it for me? Rather than, what's in it for us? What does God have for us this morning? A mutual obligation. You see, we should not approach church for our own personal, primarily our own benefit. See, then we risk building our church rather than being the church. And I know Pastor Tom long enough to know that he is not interested in building his church. We're building his church. And if we're truly building his church, then we ought to be his church. Ubuntu challenges this inward-looking perspective, demanding a life lived for the whole. Paul articulates this in Galatians. Just go, because we are in Galatians 3. Go with me just quickly over to Galatians 5. Verses 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, I'm sorry? We didn't want to read that word, did we? Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Is it the guy who lives right next to you? You see, the reality is when we serve as Christ demonstrated, not we serve as Darren says or as Pastor Todd says, when we serve as Christ demonstrated to us, he demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? So that when we serve as Christ demonstrated to us, living for the community rather than just ourselves, when that happens, the world will change. And we can begin to truly see the impact of our life's footprint on those around us. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it's important for us as Christians today to realize that God never intended for the Christian to live the Christian life alone. There's not room in the church for lone rangers. I hope you didn't come here this morning thinking, you know, I'm just going to be here by myself. It's a pretty miserable life just living alone. That's not how God intended us to be. The Christian life is meant for us to have things in common, to find things in common. And what we have in common is life in Christ. Apart from Christ, I got nothing. I mean, we sang, and I appreciated it, Brian, the songs that focused on this morning are about Christ. And if I'm preaching this morning Ubuntu and you're not getting Christ, then throw me out. Because this morning I want to preach Christ and Christ crucified, and I want to preach Christ till the day I die. And so what I'm trying to share you this morning is a heart that God has given us to reach the nations. And it starts with me putting myself and my wants and my wishes behind and putting the needs of others first, because that's what my Christ, that's what my Savior, that's what my Messiah did for me. Does he not deserve my life to serve others? Does he not deserve your life to serve others? And that starts here in this church. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I get updates from Pastor Todd, and I see you guys on Facebook. You put your service on Facebook, and I'll check in with you guys, and I'll listen to some of Pastor Todd's sermons. And yes, I do. And I see the church growing, and I see things going on here at the church. And it's not about programs; it's about reaching people. But if we're doing it for ourselves, man, that's empty. It's about serving Christ. It's about loving Christ. And therefore, as a result of that, loving others. Paul David Tripp argues in a book called Whiter Than Snow. He says, we weren't created to be independent or self-sufficient. We were made to live in humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God and in a loving and humble interdependency with others. I first start with my relationship with God. And if I have a close relationship with God through my faith in Christ, then I have to learn how to be interdependent with others. Thirdly, overcoming individualism and living Ubuntu today. How do we do that today, 2026? I mean, in the U.S. today, we often take pride in individualism, believing we must face life's challenges alone. I mean, it's crazy because the people that we were, as Alexis and I were walking the other week, like the people that walked past us were from other nations that are very relational. But they're coming here to America and all of a sudden they quickly assimilate into our culture. And they're like, I mean, these people literally walked right past me. I mean, almost bumped shoulders with me and didn't even look at me. Didn't even notice I was there. Church, is that you? Is that you? Are you walking past someone that don't even notice them? Shame on you. Shame on me. Are you that important that you can't even greet the person that walks past you? Oh, but that's not what we do. Oh, really? Is that what Christ would have done? Would Christ just walk right past somebody that maybe had some needs and just needed somebody to maybe love them? And I mean, how are we going to be able to share Christ's love if I'm just blowing off the people that have walked past me? See, this is not God's design for you and for me. When we live in isolation, which a lot of us want to do because we feel it's our safe space. When we live in isolation, the wolves of fear, loneliness, and temptation quickly lead us to fall. Younger generations today are desperately hungry for true connection and belonging. I mean, I haven't really had the opportunity to spend time with Pastor Dustin and Pastor Todd, but I can guarantee you their time and energy with the children and youth are going to tell you these kids are desperate, desperate for true connection and belonging. And in a world where social networks often divide us, the church must be an authentic place of community. If we are to remain the church in 2026, and if we are to grow the church further into the future, we must move increasingly into that communal space. We're in Galatians, right? Go to Galatians 6:2. Are you getting the idea that Paul was pretty passionate about the church and about actually being the church? I mean, we're literally in one book. I didn't go to any other book from the New Testament. Paul says here, Galatians 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, how? How can I carry Pastor Todd's burdens if I don't even know what they are? Is it possible? No, it's impossible. So if I'm not willing to invest into Pastor Todd as a fellow brother in Christ and try to build a relationship with him, how am I able to carry his burdens? I can't. And then carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, God's desire for us is to carry each other's burdens. And if we're not getting to know each other, we're not carrying each other's burdens, and therefore we're not doing what God has told us to do. Are we truly being the church if we're not doing that? Yo, but Darren, my burdens are strong as it's too much for my shoulders as it is. Good. That's the way I want it. That's the way God designed it. We weren't designed. I mean, that's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 4 that we just read, isn't it? It's no good to be alone. Your burdens were desired and designed to be too much for you so that you take them to Christ and so that we have the body of Christ to help us. In America today, and sadly, this Western mentality is spreading, and Ubuntu is being lost in South Africa today, sadly. Because they're looking at America, and they're looking at American TV, and they're looking at Hollywood, and they're like, wow, that's what we want to be like. And I'm like, no, 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 don't be like America. Wait, let's see what God's word has to say. Let's be like Christ. And let's look to see what the Apostle Paul has to say. And he says, carry one another's burdens. Well, that means then I have to be able to share my burdens. If I need to carry somebody else's burdens, they need to help share it with me. Well, then I need to help share my burdens with my brother. And therefore, we carry them together. But that means then, living out Ubuntu in 2026 means that I must choose to be vulnerable over isolating myself. It means that I must bear my brother and sister's burdens, but I also get to celebrate with them in their triumphs. Do you even know what's going on with your fellow members in church? Do you even know that what's happening in their life? Did you even know that Pastor Todd and his family were away on vacation this past week? Where'd you guys get to go? North of Rehoboth. Praise God. Glad you guys got to go away. Did you guys even know he was away? Just okay, that was a trick question. But you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. We must be willing to choose service over self-interest and prioritize the needs of the community, the needs of each other, serving rather than my own interests. I must be willing to embrace accountability of my faith to the church, to my community, and allow the church community to help me, keep me on the path that God has chosen me. That's what discipleship is all about, isn't it? If I'm learning to become more like Christ, Well, my brother, who is a bit older or more experienced, I need to be able to have him help me. But then that means I need to expose some of the things in my life that I'm struggling with. Oh, and I don't want to do that. Well, that's not God's design for us. We were never meant to live alone, guys. We need to get rid of this self-interest over service and be willing to be accountable. Do you have an accountability partner? Is there somebody that's speaking truth into your life? We are meant to be together, to lift one another up, to hold each other accountable, and to share purpose in love. There's a song that our youth sang a few years ago. Sorry, I'm going to get a little emotional for a second. Every year, our youth, I lead the youth in our local church. I love youth. My wife is scared to death of them, but I love that our youth. They give me energy. Challenge me, but give me energy. And every year, once a year, the youth lead the church service. They do everything. They do all the planning. They lead the worship. The last 2 years, they've shared testimonies. Rather than having somebody preach, they'll share testimonies of, they pick a theme and they share testimonies based on those themes. Well, sadly for me, I'm being selfish here. Okay. I'm just exposing myself. This year I missed it because it was June and we arrived June 3rd and it was June 14th. Yeah. Ended up being the 14th of June, I think. What was Father's Day was which day? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. It was the 14th. Thank you. It was June 14th and it was youth day. Though I was a youth service and I wasn't there. And it was the first time in 15 years that I wasn't there for youth. It literally is my favorite service of the year. But a couple years ago, they sang this song. And I would read you a few of the lyrics because it goes so well to Ubuntu, this idea of putting others first, this idea of serving others, this idea of community. The song says, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Can I ask you to do something maybe a little uncomfortable this morning? Nobody said yes. But I'm going to ask you to do it anyways. Can you find somebody, maybe your neighbor, look at them right now in the eyes and tell them these words? I love you. I need you. You're important to me. I need you to survive. Would you look at your neighbor and tell them this? Tell them I pray for you. You're important to me. I need you to survive. Church, North Anvil Bible Church, this is a deep, meaningful song as a missionary, because I can't do this without you. Our family can't stand up here this morning without you. The video you saw this morning of the church being planted, of the new church being planted, doesn't happen without your support. I'm not talking about just financial support. I'm talking about your loving us the way that you have over the years, caring for us. Can I say deeply that I need you to survive? I can't function. We can't function as a family without you guys. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for who you are and what you have done for us for so many years. You are important to me. And as we leave this morning, I don't want us to focus so much on this word Ubuntu as I do, and not just adopting a new term. Embracing Ubuntu is stepping fully into the unified, loving, and sacrificial life that Christ designed for us. For us all. Not just for the pastor. See, these verses that we read this morning, written by Paul, written by Solomon, were not written to the pastor. It was written to the church. We're to be the church by loving each other, caring for each other. And when we say these words, we need to mean these words. Now, I think most of you looked at your spouse. That you cheated. I challenge you. You can accept the challenge or you can not accept the challenge. I challenge you when we leave, when we finish, that you find somebody and you go to them and you say these words to them. And you mean it. And you find a way to live these words. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. We're all a part of one body. Let's do it. Pastor Dustin talked about this softball tournament coming up or something, right? Well, what happens if one person shows up? You're going to get a hiding. That's what we would say in South Africa. You're going to get a hiding. You're going to get whooped. See, a team's no good together. It's no good by just one person. A team needs each other. The church needs each other. The community, the unbelieving, dying world needs us, the church, my friends, to be the church. Find somebody to go say these words to this morning, and let's live it. Let's close in prayer.